all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you once again for the privilege of hearing your word. Let the Holy Ghost do in the text as only he can, opening up our ears, our minds, our spirit, that we might receive the truth that you're sharing with us today. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and every believer said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We are so thankful to God once again as we embark upon the day of Christmas, the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm preaching out of Luke this morning, and I want to remind us that Christmas reminds us that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Chapter 1, if you will. And I want you to see this word here. The Bible says, and I'll just read down just a little bit, beginning at verse 5. That was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers of his holy word. What a powerful word we have here. And as we are able to walk through the text, there are so many treasures, so many nuggets that we can pick up that are applicable to life today and to promises God makes to us. And one of the things that make this so wonderful in this same context is the fact that God wants to do extraordinary things through ordinary people. And it's the disbelief that God could use such an ordinary person that causes God many times to become disturbed at the fact that we misplace our focus. It is really not about you, but about God. And God wants to prove that it's not about you by using you, to show you that he's big enough to do whatever he chooses to do. One of the things that you'll think about and recognize in this text is that this man Zacharias was no extraordinary priest. His wife was no extraordinary woman. These were ordinary people. And one of the things as we walk through this, I want to point out to you, because as this time of the year reminds us of how God has used human personality from the cradle to the cross as a part of this gift and of the salvation and of the redemption of man, it's important to realize that God uses, again, the ordinary realities of human life and existence and personalities to prove that he can do whatsoever he wills. Let's go back to the text and let's see it speak for itself. Verse 5 says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, when you look at this, it tells you again of his lineage, and it tells you again also, as you walk through this, of Elizabeth's lineage. But one of the things that you're going to find out about these two persons were they were just average people. They were not special. They were not extraordinary. They were just average people going through the course of average life and doing what they had been called to do. The priest in that day, especially those who were Levites, could marry, but they had to either marry Levitess or Israelite women, and it was more preferred that they would marry women in their own lineage. And so here, as Zechariah has married Elizabeth, the Bible says, verse 6, and they were both righteous. Somebody say, both righteous.
Both righteous.
Now listen to this. More than just being both righteous, they were both righteous before God. Now it's one thing to appear righteous before you. It's a whole nother story to appear righteous before God, because God knows the total you. He sees the total view. He sees you when others do not see you. He sees you at your best. He sees you at your worst. He sees you at your height, and he sees you at your depth. And so God knows you better than you know you. And the record is that they were both righteous before God. Now look at this word again, because the Bible says, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, which means the legal righteousness and the righteousness by following the commands of God. So in both ways, they were righteous before God and blameless. But something else was different, and they had no child. Now, verse 7 doesn't really line up with verse 6.
Come on.
Because verse 7 says that you're cursed, that you are reproached when you are barren. And so it was clear that this wasn't because of some sin or shortcoming on Elizabeth's part, because the word just said she was righteous before God. So listen at this now. The Bible says again, and they both were now well stricken in years. So if it weren't enough that she was a righteous woman but yet had this curse and reproach on her life, now the problem in the natural realm is it's too late for her. Now look at this again. Verse 8 says, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. Now, David set this up back in the Old Testament, and he was one of the 24 priests who spent a week in the temple ministering before God, his particular job was to light the incense in the presence of God. And so that was his job. But here's what I want you to see. When you take care of God's business, people don't want to believe it, but God will take care of your business. When you learn how to put God first, listen at this. He may not come when you want him. Oh, but I wish I had a witness who knew he'd show up on time. Now listen at this word again. Now verse 8 says, and it came to pass while he executed, he was doing what he was supposed to do, the priest's office before God in the order of his course. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without. They were in the courtyard area at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now here he is doing his job. You got to realize now he's in the holy temple. He's in the place and he's lighting the incense and he's about doing his job. And all of a sudden an angel appears there. Now he's in there by himself. For all practical purposes, he looks up on the right side of the altar. Here is an angel of the Lord standing there. Fear fell upon. I don't care how holy you want to be. He was in the house of the Lord and got scared when the angel showed up. He's doing what he's supposed to do. The angel just show up out of nowhere and fear fell all up on him. Look at what the Bible says, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Zacharias, he knew who he was. He didn't want him to fear him in some dire strait. He wanted him to understand that he was a messenger from God with a specific message for him. And this was unordinary. This was not the ordinary course of events and things that played out. But I want you to see what the word says. It says, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Now, in the Greek tense, this is called aorist. And this literally means that it would read like this, Zacharias, for thy prayer was heard, which means that the time limit placed upon it had run out. So when he says is heard, it's literally saying, even though your time has run out, God has found favor with you. Now, I want to tell somebody, even though your natural time might have run out on some things that you might be standing in the need of, some things that God may have promised you, some things that God is favoring you with, you've got to realize God don't work by the same clock. Touch your neighbor and tell him God don't work by your clock. See, you would not be discouraged by what you see if you understand that God's got the last word. He can back up time, or he can let time move forward and back up the effects of time. And in either case, it's the same thing. That was a song some years said, if I could turn back the hands of time. It wasn't a religious song, but y'all know it. And it literally means, I wish I could turn back the effects of time. Because now, Zacharias is an old man, his wife is an old woman. But it parallels the story of Sarah and Abraham. And when you begin to recognize what God did once, how many of you know he can do it again? He comes back and shows again that he's in control of everything and every situation, every circumstance, and everything that affects your life. Look again at what the Bible says. Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, here was the thing. He's wondering when he said, thy prayer is heard. He's wondering now, what you talking about? What prayer? You know, because no doubt the reference and inference here is to a prayer prayed many years ago. Don't lock God in your small box, in your small time frame. And so God is mindful of your prayers. And just because he doesn't show up when you think he should, doesn't mean he didn't hear you and he won't answer you. But it was in his timing, and the angel comes and delivers this message. Verse 14 says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth.
Listen at this. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Can I tell you, look, it's God's prerogative to make great whomever he decides to make great. And if God calls you great, it don't matter what man calls you. Look at what the word says. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, man, if this is not favor, you tell me what favor is. First of all, you've got to recognize he is promised. He's a son of promise as well. He is one that God has ordained and honored with this position to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Many are going to be glad to hear about him. He's going to be great, not because of himself, but because of the position and the power that God's going to give him for the purpose of the glorification of God and the good of mankind. Look again at what this Bible says, verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. Now listen at this. Verse 17 says something that's interesting. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah. Listen at this. Now there are three things that he's there to do. The word says, again, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. One, that means to unify families in Israel. That's John's purpose, because John is coming as a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He's 6 months older than Jesus, and he is there for a purpose. Now, again, part of it is explained here. He has come to unify families in Israel. Look at what the word says. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to convert the disobedient to the wisdom of the way of the life of righteousness. Second thing is, he's come to get folk who are wrong right. He's trying to get folk on crooked paths on the straight path. His purpose for coming is to shed light in darkness. So this is, again, what he has been designed and assigned to do. But then there's a third thing that he's also been assigned to do. And the Bible says, and to show, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now look at this again. He's to prepare the people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, all of this was done, and especially done by God, so that this man would have an anointing so strong on his life that he didn't have to go to the city. He could stay out in the country, and the city would come to him. He would just open up his mouth, listen, and begin preaching, and people would start gathering around to hear this great word. They became convicted at the preaching of John because of his anointing. But I want you to see something else. Verse 18 says, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Come on. For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Now, this is a question, but it is a question predicated upon doubt. Right. Now, listen at this, and listen at this well. God wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. If you could do it without God, he would not need to be a part of the process. So when God shows and shares and reveals extraordinary things to you, don't think it's all about you. It's what he really wants to do through you. You see, many times you block and hinder God's greatest blessings because you see yourself the way you truly are, which is unworthy. But unworthy in the sight of God, who desires to show favor through grace to make you what you are not, is only that of the job of a God who can do nothing but what he desires without failing. That means this: no matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter where you are, If God has a purpose and a plan for your life, you need to realize it's first for His glory and second for your good. I keep bringing this principle back up to you because one of the things that you're going to recognize is God is so powerful that whatever He says, whether you like it or not, it's going to come to pass. He has the power when He speaks it to be able to perform it, and everything that He says has got to come to pass. That's why He cannot lie. And so when He makes you a promise, He doesn't have to do it. But if He does do it, you've got to recognize that He's doing it because He sees something much greater than you. He sees so much greater for you, and He wants to do much greater with you. And so it's more about God than it is about you. God wants to open up somebody's mind. God wants to open up somebody's eye to realize that what He has promised you years ago that He wanted to do in you, with you, through you, to you, for you, it still isn't too late.
Come on, come on.
What you need to realize is, no, you may not have all the education. No, you might not be the most well-versed person. No, you may not have all of the things you think you should have, but none of that is important to God, because God will give you everything you need to be successful in what He's called you to be and do. Now listen at this. This ordinary priest now is performing his necessary and normal duties in the presence of God. Angel comes, and this angel now is propositioned with a question that is filled with doubt. Look again at what Zechariah says. He says, listen, in essence, how can this thing be? I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. In other words, how is she gonna have a baby? Now listen at this, because his thing is, yeah, you heard my prayer, but you're a little late. If you would have shown up some years earlier, I could have believed this thing, but you're so far behind time now that this thing is not going to work like talking about. And I want you to see how God works. The Bible says again, verse 20, and behold, because now He's already told him, He wants to know, how shall these things be? And He answered him and said, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. He's just explaining. Gabriel, you can see it. Gabriel has a little attitude right here. How many of y'all can see that attitude in there? Gabriel's like, man, I don't believe you questioning me. You don't know who I am. Man, my job is to stand in the presence of the Lord. I ain't got this message second-handed. Nobody gave to me this third party. I heard this from the great man himself who told me to come down and tell you this message personally. Now look at God. God is so awesome that He sends Gabriel. He could have sent any angel. There were other angels that were sent, but He sent Umro Uno, number one. Gabriel said, man, you don't know. I left heaven to come down and bring you this message. And you gonna doubt me? Y'all don't. I had to leave God's presence to come down here and bring you this message, and you gonna ask me, how shall this thing be? It's gonna be because the one who told me to tell you said it's gonna be. Look again. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. But look at what verse 20 says, and behold, thou shalt be dumb. Now since you're acting dumb, I'm going to close up your speech so you won't be able to talk, because you asking some dumb questions here. How shall this thing be? The Bible says, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. Now listen at this now. He's in the temple ministering, and the people out in the courtyards praying. And now the angel has locked up his voice so that he cannot speak. Why? Because if he's speaking craziness in here to the angel, ain't no telling how he'll mess up stuff out there. So he locks up his mouth until the Bible says that this thing comes to be. Now listen at this.
The Bible says, because, listen at this, thou believest not.
My God.
Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled. Listen at this. God don't need you. He allows you to participate, but God is going to make this thing happen. You got to realize that's what's so important about the promises of God. God will bring it to pass. See, you're worrying about how you're going to do it. You can't do it. That's why he got all torn up and twisted up, because he's figuring out, how can men and Elizabeth do this? You can't. Only God can. And listen at this. He just allowed them a part to play, but it was his anointing upon them for the assignment that he had given them that would bring this to pass. And notice again, I like the way this ends, which shall be fulfilled in their season. These things are going to happen in their season. Now, he's gotten this word. He's in the temple. Now, I want you to see again, the Bible says, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So he comes out of the temple. His course is finished. He's finished his week. And now he comes out because they want to hear a word from the Lord. And he opens up his mouth and nothing comes. Well, first he beckons them to come closer because he figured he's going to have to whisper. But when he beckons them to come closer, he starts talking, but nothing is coming out his mouth. And he realized, what's wrong with Zacharias? Some anointed person said, he just seen a vision. He can't talk. He can't do nothing but wave his hands. He's been touched by this vision. Now look at this, because I want you to see this. Bible says, verse 23, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now he leaves the house of the Lord and he goes to his own house. He still can't talk. He couldn't talk after he asked that crazy question in the temple. He couldn't talk when he beckoned the folk when he came outside. And he could not talk when he got to his house. The Bible says in verse 24, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now, I suppose he could write. So since he couldn't talk when he went back home to Elizabeth, I guess he wrote her a Dear Elizabeth letter. Guess what happened to me at work today? Angel of the Lord visited me, and he wrote down the story I'm imagining, and he shares it with her. But something else happens. He does more than talk to her. Because the angel has said she's going to bear a son for him. So now, listen at this now. Even in his doubt and disbelief, he still says he's an old man and she is well stricken in age. But he follows the course of life and something happens. And look at what the word says. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Now, adults understand this, so I don't need to go much further than this. But she hid herself now 5 months. 5 months. Five, the number of grace. She hides herself. But you know why she hides herself? Because she don't believe it's real. So for 5 months, she's convincing herself, yes, this is real. And every month she gets a little bigger. And she said, yes, it is real. By the fifth month, she said, oh, it's real. It's real. Look at what the word says. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So finally she realizes that this reproach that was upon her life, this curse that was upon her life, God had removed in her old age this reproach. Now, the story shifts now And then it starts to tell the story about Jesus, the angel foretells. The Bible says this, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, both of them were of the lineage of David as well. And listen at this word. It says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored,